While the fight to raise the minimum wage and for paid sick days, as well as the struggle for safe working conditions, continues, the root of the struggle go back to the 18th century when workers demanded a 10-hour day. By the 19th century, workers called for an 8-hour day. Momentum grew in the Midwest, culminating in massive strikes in May 1886. One place was Haymarket Square in Chicago. Back then, the city was a hub of industrial expansion built on the backs of working poor. They worked 10, sometimes 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. Wages were low and could be cut without notice, just as is the case with car wash workers and student guest workers and sweatshop workers today. Back then, like today, working class hunger and poverty contrasted with luxury and opulence among those who ruled cities like Chicago and New York. Inequitable conditions fueled a workers' rights movement that led to a coordinated strike on May 1, 1886, to demand an 8-hour workday. Hundreds of thousands refused to work and marched in the streets across the country. In Chicago, despite anxiety about potential violence, a May 1 march and strike passed peacefully. But a few days later, at Chicago's McCormick Reaper Works factory, there was a confrontation and police shot at striking workers, killing at least two. On May 4th, several thousand workers and their families gathered at Haymarket Square to discuss how to respond. James Green, labor historian and author of Death in the Haymarket, A Story of Chicago, the First Labor Movement and the Bombing That Divided Gilded Age America, explains what happened next.
One of the anarchists witnessed this, a man named August Spies, a German immigrant, and he called a rally in Haymarket Square the next night. And one of the leaflets that went out said, "Working men come and protest this latest act of police brutality," and one of them said, "Arm yourselves." Spies took that off the leaflet, but the word went out that there might be trouble. Police were gathered there, 176 police. The entire force was really on alert that night. That would be the night of May 4th. However, the rally proceeded quite peacefully, too. There was a lot of threatening language by the speakers against the police. No violence. The mayor was there and decided about 10 o'clock to go home, that it was peaceful. Told the police captain he could send the reserves home. But after he left, the captain of the police decided to march on the rally anyway and disperse it. And as he was doing that, the anarchist speaker stepped down from the hay wagon where he was speaking. He protested this. He said, "We're peaceable." And just at that moment, someone, and to this day we don't know who, threw a bomb that landed in the midst of the police.
A wild scene ensued. Police started shooting indiscriminately, some hitting their fellow officers, though they claimed the shots came from anarchists.
It was a terrible, tragic scene, and eventually 7 police officers died, and several bystanders as well. And the anarchists who were leading the 8-hour movement in Chicago, their core group was arrested and tried for conspiracy to commit murder. And then the trial of the century began in the summer of 1887.
Newspaper editorials slandered the men charged, even though some were not even at the Haymarket rally. The jury consisted of people recommended by company owners and businessmen, and the judge showed bias throughout the trial. 8 defendants were convicted, and the judge sentenced 7 of them to death after failing appeals and clemency requests. 4 men were hanged. In a 1999 interview, Chicago historian and broadcaster the great Studs Terkel said, "The ghosts of Haymarket live on."
The ghost of Haymarket is never quite laid. The ghost of Haymarket is always there, Chicago and then. Because it dealt with labor primarily. It dealt with equity primarily. Remember, it was a fight for the 8-hour day. We think about that throughout the world. That case, of course, resonated. The indignation was there. As you know, people like Tolstoy and Bernard Shaw all spoke out against it. And William Morris all spoke, and William Dean Howells did. I'm not sure if Mark Twain did or not. He didn't. But there they were, and the Chicago industrialists, one of the spokesmen was a very enlightened one named Lyman Gage. He said, maybe we should commute the sentence. They weren't there, and they all agreed except for one industrialist, Marshall Field I, with flowing white mustache, distinguished merchant prince. He said, "Hang the bastards." And they did. Four were hanged. And later on, of course, the greatest perhaps of all governors any state ever had, John Peter Altgeld, looked over the records and said, this was a frame-up, this was a farce. And those who survived, the three of the four who survived, he pardoned, much to the destruction of his political career.
In the years following the Haymarket events, labor advocates around the world began honoring those killed in Chicago and the ongoing struggle for workers' rights each May 1st, also called International Workers' Day. It's a national holiday in dozens of countries. Tomorrow, Occupy Wall Street May Day Coalition, labor and students organized a day of rallies, marches, and teach-ins on workers' rights, culminating in an OCU Evolve Kamani Gray Memorial Assembly at Zuccotti Park at 7 p.m. More information is at maydayneworkcity.org. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.